Word of God that talk about the ability of the Word of God. Here's one of them. The implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. The Word of God is like a seed. Peter wrote of that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and told us we're all born again by the living and abiding seed of the Word of God. There's an incorruptible seed that can be planted in hearts and can germinate to eternal life when they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God. It goes forth first in the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus. And if we meekly let the Lord plant that Word in our lives, He will prove to us time and time again in multiplied ways that the implanted Word, the Word of God, when it is taken in the heart meekly, is able to save our souls. Able to save us, that is, rescue us. The Word of God is able to produce a rescued life. Really, that's a description of what we are here tonight. We're just a bunch of rescued lives gathering together. Can you remember when you were in desperate need of being rescued, delivered, saved? That is, rescued from the consequences of sin, the penalty of sin, the bondage of sin, the blindness of sin, the fear of sin, the vanity of sin. A person in that situation is in desperate need of a rescue. Even talking about it, my memory is stirred. I am so thankful to be one who has a rescued life. A life that comes from being saved, delivered from sin by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is able to save our souls, to create a rescued life. We were once perishing, drowning in sin and death. The Lord saved us. He rescued us. How did He do it? By His Word. His implanted Word. Someone planted the Word in our lives. The Holy Spirit convicted us. We had heard the truth, stirred our need, humbled us to say, Lord Jesus, save, deliver, rescue me, a sinner. And our lives were saved. Our souls were saved. We were rescued. And you know, the Lord is often rescuing us. And He does it through the ability of His Word so often. The saving work of Jesus Christ saves us from so much that's awful, sin and death and hell and separation from God, but He saves us unto things that are even greater than the things He saves us from. He saves us unto Himself and unto heaven forever with Him. And just as heaven is greater than hell, just as Jesus is greater than Satan, so the things we're saved unto are even greater than the things we're saved from. And the Word of God is able to save our souls from all those awful things unto all those glorious realities. But also, the Word of God is able to save us, deliver us, rescue us day by day. There are a lot of things we need to be delivered through, saved right through our walk in life. How many times has the Word of the Lord come to you? Many times I can recall it has come to me and rescued me right here on earth. Even a saved soul on the way to heaven needs the rescuing work of the Word of God. A reminder, a hope, sinking in despair or fear or confusion, and the Lord sends forth His Word and rescues you. One of the great abilities of the Word of God is it's able to save, to rescue our souls. Now we want the right attitude, verse 22 reminds, the right goal and purpose in mind, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only deceiving yourselves. The Lord wants us receiving the Word with this in mind. Lord, I desire to live what Your Word says to me. We don't want to get caught in the self-deceiving trap of just thinking that hearing the Word is all that matters. Hey, I went to church, I heard the Word, that takes care of that, let me get on with my business. In fact, I did extra good today because the message was incredibly long incredibly boring, but I heard it, and that's what counts. You know, chalk one up for me, Lord. There's a deception in that. There's so much more to it than just having the words hit our ears. And many people in the church world believe all you need to do is just put in your time at the meetings and hear some of that preaching, teaching, or what might some places even sound like haranguing, and you know what else do you need? Well, we need a desire to have our lives changed by the Word of God. We want to be those who desire to be doers of the Word. In other words, live by it, have it impact us so deeply that what it says, we become in our walk. And that protects us from self-deception. In fact, that's part of meekness. Receiving the word meekly, part of it is, Lord, I want what you want, what your word expresses, and what it says, I want to become. That's a heart that wants to be a doer of the word. That's completely related to meekness. It's confessing, I don't have it all together. I can't do it on my own. Meekly receive the implanted word. If we'll receive the word of God meekly, just weakly, humbly, God will prove the word of God is able to save our souls. If you're in a bind, in a tough situation, in a painful spot, in a perplexing dilemma, give attention in your own life meekly to receiving the planting of the Word of God. God will prove His Word is able. And one way He'll prove it is He will rescue you by His Word. So God's Word is able to provide, able to produce a rescued life. But also, another ability of the Word of God is it can provide and produce a changed life. Not just rescuing out of the tragedy and the condemnation of sin and death and separation from God, but as Psalm 19 shows, God's Word can produce a changed life. Is there anyone among us at all who has any area in their life they would like to see changed? Well, let's be honest. Is there anyone here that doesn't want that? Really? Who are you kidding, huh? I mean, we need that. We want that. But how do we do that? Well, we find someone, something with the ability to change us and let it go to work. The Word of God is able to produce a changed life. Psalm 19 at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord, the one phrase to describe the Word of God in the Old Testament, is used to here bring attention to this fact, God's Word is perfect. We're again looking at what we looked at previously in our former study. The character of God is the basis of the ability of God. It's because God's Word has a certain nature about it, a certain character, certain realities and characteristics that it's able to do the things it can do. Well, here's one of the great characteristics of the Word of God. It's perfect. It's flawless. Hard to find things like that. Everything on earth seems to show up with its imperfections. But praise the Lord, not the Word of God. God's Word is perfect, flawless. Therefore, it is able to convert the soul. One of the abilities of the Word of God, because of its great character, is it's able to bring a soul, bring a life back into the condition the Lord intended for man to live in. The converting of the soul, conversion, changing back to what man was intended to be. In other words, God's Word is able to restore lives, renew lives, and revive lives. If we need any changing, converting, restoring, renewing, reviving, God's Word is able to do it because it's perfect, converting the soul. God's word also, called here the testimony of the Lord in verse 7, is sure, making wise the simple. This is another great characteristic of the word of God. It's sure. How many things in life can you say that about? Oh, this is a sure thing. Until it proves it's not a sure thing. The word of God is sure. It's reliable. It's absolutely certain. It won't let us down. It's sure. Because of its great character of being reliable, it can make wise the simple. Another ability of the Word of God in changing lives is it can give us divine wisdom. Oh, the way lives suffer, the way people go through heartache and create heartache when they do not have wisdom. Have you ever done anything really, really stupid? Me too. How about that which is stupid and has very serious consequences? You go, how could I be so dumb? Or it's easier to see it in someone else. How could they be so dumb? There's no wisdom in that. Well, the Word of God is able to change that life and make them wise. Spare us and others from the tragedies and heartaches of foolishness. The Word of God is able to make us wise. But notice, it's able to make wise the simple. It's not able to make wise the wise. Why? They don't think they need it. Hey, I'm wise. You can have your Bible. You look like you need it anyway, you know. But I'm wise. The Word of God doesn't make wise the wise. That's why not many wise are called, because not many wise are willing to say, Lord, really, I'm just a simple one. People think I know something, Lord. I know nothing unless it's something you taught me. And it's your wisdom, really, not mine. Anyone who come to the Lord that way, God will make them wise. This is kind of exciting, isn't it? That simpletons can be wise? This is encouraging to me. I like this. You know? Hey, how hard is it to qualify for the Word of God to go to work in your life? God's Word is able to make wise the simple. I used to think I knew so much. I had to have been, when I first met the Lord, one of the dumbest people on earth. I was so self-assured, so self-contained, thought I knew it all. I mean, the first indication the Lord gave to me of how foolish I was, it was just overwhelmingly, crushingly embarrassing. But the wonderful thing was, right at that moment, I was getting qualified for the Word of God to go to work in me. And now and then, divine wisdom actually appears in my life. And what can one say but the Word of God is able to make wise the simple. Praise God for the ability of His Word. Here's another insight. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord. Again, another phrase to refer to the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. God's Word is right. God's Word is absolutely correct. Man's way is incorrect. God's way is correct. It's right. Everything we find that God has given us in His Word, it's correct. Therefore, it rejoices the heart. You know how heavy and discouraged hearts get when they come across one after another issue of life that proves not right? They tried this, it wasn't right. They invested in that, it wasn't right. They tried a relationship with this person, they weren't right. They went for this job, it wasn't right. They had this great hope to build a mighty, effective life. It didn't work. It wasn't right. It is so fantastic to finally find that which is right. When you find that which is right, you know what it does? It rejoices the heart. It makes you glad inside. I am so glad that the Word of God was brought into my life. It rejoices my heart. It gives inner joy. And you know, even when circumstantial things all around us make it impossible to be circumstantially happy, the Word of God, because it's right, can still rejoice the heart. In fact, some of my times of joy in the Word, I find out, are when things are the most difficult all around me. And you come into the Word of God and you go, oh yes, it's right. I'm so glad. It's the ability of the Word of God. Here's another one. Verse 8, the commandment of the Lord, speaking of the Word of God, is pure, enlightening the eyes. God's Word is pure. There's no corrupting element there at all. It's pure, so it can enlighten the eyes. In it is the pure light of heaven. God's Word can shine upon us and in us and let us see the things that we need to see. It can enlighten our eyes. Well, it's a dangerous thing to roam around with our eyes unenlightened, unable to see the things we need to see. Leads to big problems in our lives and the things we cause in other lives. Praise God for the Word of God. It's pure. And because of its purity, it can enlighten the eyes. So the Word of God is able. It's able to produce a changed life. That's one of the reasons we're drawn to the Word of God, isn't it? May God build our confidence in His Word to change our lives. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm 1, there's another description of the ability of the Word of God. God's Word is able to provide, able to produce a watered, fruitful life. Human lives on their own are dry and barren as far as spiritual realities go. The Word of God is able to produce and provide a watered, fruitful life. Psalm 1 verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That is, shall have spiritual benefit, blessing, and success. A life that is fed by the Word of God and not by the counsel of man becomes a life that just delights in the Word of God, scorning the counsel of man, the path of sinners, and sitting where the scornful hang out. That man's blessed who just wants to delight in God's Word and meditate on it. When the Word of God draws our hearts to become an increasing joy in our life, we just delight to be in it or under it or with it. And then we want to think on it, meditate on it, chew on it, get that last ounce of taste out of that chewing gum. You know, just keep it there, keep it there, keep it there. Savor it. Consider it again. Then God's Word increasingly demonstrates this ability. The ability to produce a watered, fruitful life. We don't want to be dry and barren, and yet some believers are. Here's one of the basic reasons. So often they're feeding on the counsel of the world, the ungodly, their theories, their values, their priorities, their way to make a life for oneself. And they stand in the path of sinners. They spend a lot of time walking where the sinful walk. They even sit down, hang out, and fellowship with the scornful. Not to reach them, but because they got plenty of scorn they can pour out too. Carnal Christian, walking according to the flesh. There's no blessing there. That's a tough road, a dry, barren path to walk in. But for those who turn from the ways of man and say, Lord, give me a great delight for your word. Let it be a joy in my life. Draw me to it. Psalm 119, then the verses in the 30s, there are a few prayers, incline my heart to your testimonies. If you're not in the Word of God a lot lately, that's a great prayer. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Draw me there, Lord. Stir me there. I need to be there. Yes, the Spirit is willing, but you've seen the weakness of my flesh. Draw me there. I'm crying out to you. For those who begin to delight in the Word and meditate on it. Not just hear it quick. Yeah, I heard that. Oh, in fact, I knew that verse already. You know, close, zip, forget. How about better? Oh, yeah, I heard that verse before. Oh, yeah. Hey, I remember that. Oh, wait a minute. There's probably something there I didn't hear. Ooh, yes. I want to chew on that one. Meditating, it's like the cow. Literally, that's the word here, you know. Ruminating, chewing again on that. Reconsidering things in the Word of God. I used to be in the trek as a reader and a teacher of the Word of God, always looking only for something new. And early on as a teacher, I thought, if I don't have something brand new that no one has ever heard in this message, it's a total failure. That is not only spiritual ignorance on my part, that's a tough road to go down. And many a time, you know, I prepare, well, you know, I guess I just to crank out that old stuff. You know, and then somebody comes up and says, oh, I can't tell you what God did in my life through that. No, it's impossible. It was not new. Took a while, but I began to see that one of the great things we need is to go over and over the things of the Word of God. John wrote and said, I write to you not because you don't know these things, but because you do. I want to talk to you about them. Peter said, I'm writing to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. It's a tremendous thing. Let's go back over the things that we think we know. In the last 3 years, after 25 years of pastoring and teaching through all the Word of God and all over all of the Word of God, for 3 years the Lord has concentrated me more down in a few areas, not just one or two or three, but a few broad and deep areas. And some have said, you know, don't you get kind of tired of going over and over some of that stuff? You know, actually quite the contrary. It's become a great gift from God to me. Because every time I've taught these things that I've taught before, God has deepened my appreciation of them, my understanding of them, and my desire to walk in them. And my conviction of the reality of those matters. That's all kind of related to meditating upon. Meditating is thinking on it, chewing on it, not just zipping through it. It's fine to get a sweeping look at the Word of God. But those who really want watered, fruitful lives, they slow down and they meditate on it. They chew on it. You know, kind of like you would on a love letter from your guy or gal. You know, it's only 48 words long, but you've read it 48 times. You're pausing every two or three words, meditating on it. Oh, I wonder what she really meant by that. Oh, I think I see. Oh, this is wonderful. And you tuck, you know, go through a few of those, you tuck it away, and you know, and later on in the day it's about bedtime. I need to check that out one more time, you know. Oh, I didn't see that word with this word. Whoa! This is too good. That's what God can do in our hearts and lives with the Word of God. Cause us to delight in the Word of God and meditate on it. I mean, if we can get like that, people to people, don't you think we can get like that? Saved one to Savior? Sure we can. Just delight in this love letter from our God who is love. When we do that, when we rejoice in the Word and chew on it, here's what happens. The Word of God proves its ability to produce a watered, fruitful life. We become like trees planted by the rivers of water. You know, you put a tree out in a dry, barren place and try to plant it and make it grow, it'd just be a scrubby shrub or something at best. And you can see when you drive across the country, every now and then, you know, there's just a winding, meandering line of healthy, vital trees. And you know exactly what's going on there. That's right beside the river of waters. That's what happens in our lives. If we delight in the Word and meditate on it, our lives become that kind of a tree that brings forth its fruit in its season. There might be a little waiting on that fruit. That's fine. There's a season for it. Just keep being watered. And then the leaf will not wither. Even when the heat is on, the water is still there in the river of the Word of God. And this astounding statement, whatever he does shall prosper. Now, you know, this is not the way to get your Rolls Royce here, you know, quoting this verse to God. This is a way to flourish in godliness. That's prosperity. Biblically speaking, whatever he does shall prosper. There'll be a spiritual success and benefit in it. So the Word of God is able. Able to produce a watered, fruitful life. In Ephesians chapter 5, there's another wonderful ability of the Word of God described. God's Word is able to produce and to provide a sanctified, cleansed life. A sanctified, cleansed life. Now remember what sanctification is. To be sanctified means to be more and more set apart from world and self and sin unto God for His purposes, for His glory, and for His use. We desire that, right? We want a sanctified life. Also, we want a cleansed life. We don't want filthiness, the dirt of the world, in deed or thought or word or relationship. We want sanctified, cleansed lives. The Word of God is able to do that. Ephesians 5:26 speaks about Christ and His bride, the church, and how He ministers to her. He gives Himself for her, verse 25, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ is sanctifying and cleansing by the washing of water by the Word. We might say, well, I don't know that my life is being sanctified or cleansed. Let me ask you this. Are you consistently, habitually exposing your life to the water of the Word of God? If you are, and receiving it meekly, I need to be cleansed and sanctified, Lord. God is doing this in your life. If we expose ourselves to the Word of God, Lord, the water of the Word, I need it on me. Then He is cleansing us and sanctifying us by the water of His Word. He's pouring the water of the Word upon our lives and more setting us apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil to Himself, His purposes, His glory, and His use. But also by the water of the Word, He's cleansing us. Surely we've noticed the world is a very dirty place. If you could see spiritual footprints, the carpet would probably be very muddy tonight. Just because we had to walk out there in that dirty world. It doesn't mean you went to some place that you never should have gone. Well, if you did, then there's a pile of mud on the floor. But praise God, His Word can deal with that too. But if you even went every place He called you to go today, you got some spiritual mud on your shoes. You got some spiritual dirt in your spiritual eyes. It's dirty out there. It's ugly. There's deadly filth virtually everywhere you look. Well, praise God for the Word. It can wash our eyes, wash our feet, cleanse us. The washing of water by the Word. What's the Word able to do? It's able to provide a sanctified, cleansed life. More and more and more as we let the Lord wash us with it. Here's another ability of the Word of God. There's so many of them mentioned in the Scriptures. It's a great theme to develop. I encourage you even to seek the Lord, whether He wants you to build a little notebook on the ability of the Word of God. You know, and just as you're reading and praying in the Word, every time He, you know, kind of rings the heavenly bell, ding, there's another one. Just write it down. You know what that does? It just builds faith, builds vision, touches the heart, draws us in, and equips us. Here's another great one, Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. The ability of the Word of God to produce a persevering, comforted, hope-filled life. Anyone need patience? Anyone need to be comforted? Anyone need hope? Here it is. It's right in the ability of the Word of God. It can be provided to you through the Word. Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before, that is recorded in the Scriptures, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Do you know that inherently in the Scriptures, the Word of God, there is the patience and comfort of the Lord? The ability of the Word of God. If we'll just receive these things written for our learning, then through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, you and I will have hope. Do you ever get tested in your patience and feels it's a little short of what's needed? There's a patience of the Scriptures. The more we're in the Word of God, the more God's developing patience in our lives. There's a patience of the Scriptures. The more we're in the Word of God, the more God's developing patience in our lives. He particularly works that through tough circumstances as we're in the Word of God. Developing patience, endurance, perseverance. Have you ever been given a task? Maybe you're in a responsibility or a path right now that you're not even near the end. But you know that's the path the Lord has for you. And persevering, which is another aspect of this word patience, just seems tough to find. Where do we get something like that? Praise God, the Word of God is able to develop perseverance in our lives. It's called the patience or the perseverance of the Scriptures. Also, comfort. We need comfort, don't we? How often do you just want the Lord just to gather you up on His knee and just say, there, I love you, it's okay. I'm with you, I'm for you. I'll console you. I'll encourage you. How does the Lord do that? The comfort of the Scriptures. He speaks right to us and He speaks comfort to us. This world is an uncomfortable place to live in. It's a dry and weary land where no water is, David said. The Lord can comfort us through the Scriptures. And as the Lord is building perseverance in our lives, the perseverance of the Scriptures, comforting us with the comfort of the Scriptures, those are the lives that end up having hope. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. It hit me one day, this thought, and I believe it's biblically sound. I was meditating on the Word, on the issue of hope, and it kind of hit me. You know, hope spiritually is kind of like oxygen physically. It's as hard to live physically without oxygen. It's just that hard to live spiritually without hope. Hopelessness is suffocating spiritually. It just stirs up despair, desperation. Well, as God is working His patience and His comfort from His Scriptures into our lives, we have hope. God develops in us expectation, anticipation, encouragement. Good synonyms for biblical hope. Another good synonym for hope, as used in the New Testament, is confidence. So many people are out trying to develop a confident life. What is the way of the world to do it? Self-confidence. I mean, it's almost as American as apple pie, hot dogs, and Chevrolet. Or is it Saturns now? Whatever, you know. Or is it Hondas? I mean, whatever is most American. Self-confidence? I mean, isn't that what we're all about? Well, maybe in America. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And a good synonym for New Testament hope is confidence. But it's not self-confidence. That prevents us meekly receiving the implanted Word. It's confidence in God. When God works His Word in our lives, producing perseverance and comfort, it just builds our index of hope. Our expectations rise. Our anticipation of what God can do increases. And our hope abounds. Our confidence God is God. He is in charge. I know Him. He knows me. He can, even if I can't. I mean, confidence. That's all related to the ability of the Word of God. It can provide a persevering, comforted, hope-filled life. Kind of makes you want to get in it, doesn't it? Do it, Lord. Do it in my life. Here's another. The Word of God is able to produce a faith-developing life. Romans 10:17. You ever feel like your faith's a little weak? Doesn't meet the challenge? You feel like you're faltering into doubt and fear? Let's turn to the ability of the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The way God develops faith in our lives has to do with hearing. And the kind of hearing that develops faith is hearing the Word of God. As you and I hear the Word of the Lord, whether we're privately alone, letting Him speak to us personally, or publicly gathered like this, letting Him proclaim the Word to us, as we hear it, God is developing our faith. Faith comes by hearing what God has to say. Faith doesn't come from, you know, just deciding, I will believe. Now, we do make decisions to believe or not. But it's not based on just, I'm tired of disbelieving, I'm going to believe. No, it's based on something with substance, not just a momentary whim. The substance is this, what God has said. The more God speaks to us what He has said, the more He tells us who He is, what He's like, what He has done, what He will do, what He has provided for us, how He wants to live in us and walk with us. The more we hear the Word of the Lord, faith is developed. Because as the Lord is speaking the truth to us, the Holy Spirit is saying, that's the truth. That's the fact. That's the way it is. You can count on that. You can rely on that. You can build your life on that. Faith comes by hearing the Word of the Lord. Probably most of us, I hope all of us, would like to be mighty in faith. Well, we don't go home and grab our faith pump. I will be mighty in the faith. I mean, one little pinprick from the enemy and oh well, I didn't think I could do it anyway. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Why did we first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Because He spoke to us through His Word, the gospel of His grace, and somehow we heard from Him, I can save your soul. I died for you. I paid the debt. You come to me, weary, heavy laden. You'll find rest for your soul. And we heard it in the Holy Spirit saying to us, that's what you're looking for. That's the truth. So we didn't just decide, you know, I'm tired of being a pagan. I think I'll be a religious person. You know? No, faith was stirred in us by the Word of God. He told us the truth, and we believed it was true. And we put our faith in Him and found new life. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We want our faith to grow, get in and under, engaged with the ability of the Word of God to produce faith-developing lives. Now one more, the last one for this evening. The last ability of the Word of God we're going to consider tonight, there's so many of them, but the last one, I believe biblically defined, is the most significant ability in all of God's Word. John chapter 5 speaks of it. John chapter 5, verses 39 through 40. Jesus said to a very religious nation of Israel, and especially driving at the leaders of Israel, He said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I don't know precisely how to term this great ability of the Word of God, but it has to do with the ability of the Word to develop a Christ-acquainted or Christ-focused life. Jesus said to the leaders among the Jews in His day, you search the Scriptures. And they did. They were a Bible-searching people. God had given them His Word. They had custody of the oracles of God. And they searched the Scriptures. The sad thing is, though, they didn't search the Scriptures for the right reason. They should have been searching the Scriptures for the Messiah, the Christ, to know Him and cry out for Him and recognize Him when He came. They were so far off that when He came, they killed Him, He got in the way of their program. Oh, they searched the Scripture and developed their program. I mean, they were the elite. They knew it all. They had it in with God. They searched the Scriptures. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. The leaders of Israel, having the Word in custody of it, teaching it, they thought by possessing it, and having this vast knowledge of it, which they thought they did, surely they had eternal life. I mean, look, God, I carry the scroll of Isaiah everywhere I go. Weighs 30 pounds. Am I dedicated or what? And not only that, Lord, you saw me last week at synagogue. I unrolled that scroll for everybody, and to their amazement, I pointed out for them the actual, absolute, middle letter of the scroll of Isaiah. I mean, God, who can know the Bible better than that? You know? You mean there's not a place at the banquet table for me? Of course there is. Jesus had them nailed. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Maybe there's some in the American church in this day and age. Hey, they can recite the books of the Bible backwards. Tell me that's not Bible knowledge. You know? You mean God doesn't give eternal life to someone that knowledgeable in the Word of God? Come on, be serious. No, that might come from a lot of searching of the Scriptures, but not searching for the right thing. Jesus really nailed that kind of thinking. And there's some in the church world today think they are the paragon of orthodoxy. They have every answer to every question ever asked or ever will be asked. And believe me, they're proud of it. And to them the Lord might say, you search the Scriptures because you think in them, in your possession of them, and your own knowledge in them, you think you've got a lock with God, right? The leading Israelites did. Boy, the Lord nailed that. He said, these are they which testify of me. They didn't pay any attention to that. The highest use of the Word of God is to bear witness of Jesus Christ to all who come to the Word. The greatest ability of the Word of God is to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to us that we might come to Him and find life. Jesus said to them, though the Scriptures you search testify of me, verse 40, you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. Some people are willing to go to the Bible, maybe even for everything they need. But they aren't willing to come to Jesus Christ that they might have life. Well, they'll go to the Bible to prove their prophecy scenario is right. They'll go to the Bible to prove their doctrine is better than anyone else. They'll go to the Bible to prove they're smart. They might even go to the Bible to get out of a mess. But do they go there to find Jesus Christ? So they might come to Him and find life. It's a great thing to get into the Word of God, but let's use it for its highest purpose and let it unleash its greatest ability. That is the ability of the Word to reveal Christ to us and draw our hearts to Him to find life in Him and Him alone. This relates not only to initial salvation, eternal life, new birth, But every day, if you and I approach the Word of God asking to have a testimony from God through His Word of who Jesus Christ is, what He's done, our hearts will be drawn to Him. We can humbly come to Him. Lord Jesus, I see again who You are. I see what You've done. I see what You provide. I see my need. I come to You. Lord, I've been a little dry lately, a little lifeless. I come to You for life. In Him is the life. Not in our Bible knowledge. Praise God if He gives us insight in the Word. But if it isn't all anchored, pointing to, flowing out somehow of a building relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not life-giving Bible knowledge. Oh, what a great ability of the Word this is. The Word is able to produce, develop a Christ-acquainted life, a Christ-focused life, a Christ-like transformed life. Only in Him do we find the life we need to live the Christian life, to grow to be more like Christ, to meet the challenges and opportunities before us. The ability of the Word of God. It's able to provide, to produce a rescued life, a changed life, a watered, fruitful life, a sanctified, cleansed life, a persevering, comforted, hope-filled life, a faith-developing life, and hundreds of other things. But above all, a Christ-acquainted, Christ-focused, Christ-seeking life. Let's ask God to do that in us. Lord, we come in Your Word now, seeking You, Lord Jesus. All the glorious truths of the Word we know point to You, illustrate You, or reveal a need for You, or open up the blessings that flow from You and You alone. We don't want to be those with puffed up Bible knowledge. We want to be those who let the Scriptures bear witness to us of You, Lord Jesus. And in You, through the Word, all these other things the Word can do will be increasingly accomplished in us. Lord, thank You for building our faith even tonight, faith in Your Word, the Word about Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for comforting us in Your Scripture. Thank You for building hope. We just want to see Your Word unleashed in our lives. Oh, Lord, display, demonstrate, exercise the ability of Your Word in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.